Welcome to another episode of Four Dudes in America. And yeah, myself, the host, the moderator, Lamon, and I got my other people on the line. Jason Young gonna jump in with us in about 5 or 10 minutes as we get into this episode. But I want to start because there's so much to talk about. But before I start, let me allow the other two fellas to introduce themselves. Go ahead.
This is Terrell. Just want to say thank y'all for tuning in. God bless everybody out there, man. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, but we're going to tap into it.
And my name is Myron. Thank you, guys. We got a good show in store for y'all.
All right, guys. So we got to jump right into it. The case is over. He was found guilty on all charges. So give me your perspective. Well, what do you think about it? You know, I could just start off by saying, man, they got it right. You know, a couple of weeks back, we did a podcast, and I kept saying, man, I hope they get it right. And they got it right. Am I excited that the verdict went that way? Absolutely. But am I satisfied with just this justice system? No, I'm not satisfied with the systematic things that's still going on, because we still have a multitude of people on trial that haven't got their just due, and we still have, you know, police officers doing the same thing. But we can touch bases on that in a second. But I'm going to give Terrell and Myron the opportunity to speak on it. Go ahead, one of you guys.
Myron, let's start with you. I feel like you're the most educated in this area, so let's go with you.
Okay, so the alternate juror spoke to CBS Morning News, and she said that she wasn't one who voted. She was an alternate juror, so she did not have a decision in voting in guilty or not guilty. But she said that what moved her was the girl who took the initial video that everybody saw. I forgot her name, sorry. And the Dr. Tobin, who the prosecutor called and laid out step by step when George Floyd died, and you know, the process of when Chauvin had his knee in his neck and when he was trying to grasp for air. She said he laid it out very plainly to where they can understand it. She said she did not like the way the defense attorney made promises early on that he was going to prove that Chauvin did not kill George Floyd. He said because he did not live up to that. He never got around to proving, and he made too much of a high promise. But as far as the convictions, I am not surprised, because I thought it was going to be a guilty or a mistrial. It was going to be either one of those. So that's my viewpoint on it.
Thanks for that insight, Myron. I didn't know what you just brought out. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My thing is, you know, obviously, I had no faith at all in that they were going to get it right, because I've never seen it in my lifetime. I don't think so. The one thing that I think we need to be focused on, and we need to not overlook, is that he got convicted, right? So, but he still has to get sentenced, and that's the discretion of the judge, right? So if he comes out and he gets sentenced to the minimum, let's say he gets sentenced to 10 years, that's not fed time, that's state time. So he's only going to do 2/3 of that time. And then if they let him out for good behavior, he's walking out of the prison in 4 or 5 years. He can do 5 years for a murder. Anybody would do 5 years for a murder. You know, you got people doing 15, 20, 30 years for marijuana, for, you know, non-violent drug offenses. You got people doing life for non-violent drug offenses. So, and you got to think, let's say he does five of the, let's say if they give him the minimum, he's going to do five of them 10 years, right? those 5 years is not going to be hard time. It's not like he's going to be in the hole. It ain't like he's going to be in general pot. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't going to be hard time. That's going to be a 5 year break for him, and he's going to get back to his life, and George Floyd ain't never coming back. So that's what we need to be focused on. Yeah, we can celebrate, but like, let's not take our eyes off the prize. Like, I see people celebrating like we just won a championship, or we just, you know, like everything's now fixed with the world. Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I understand it, I get it, but like, let's stay diligent. There's still so much more to do. Like, we have to reform this police. Like, we have to reform this system. Like, to me, think about, like, just George Floyd, how many people have been murdered or lost their lives in an altercation or a confrontation or an encounter with the law enforcement, with the police officer?
Tori, I gotta agree with you. I think people were celebrating because they didn't think it was going to happen, and I think this is a small victory. And you're right, we can't take our eyes off the prize, because so much reform has to go into policing and making it right. So yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. So Myron, you know, was I like, again, I want to just reiterate what I stated in the opening of this podcast. Was I happy about the verdict? Yes. But am I happy about these conversations surrounding police officers and policing and in our environment and in the inner city? I'm not happy about it, because we continue to have conversations about police not handling situations accordingly. If we let's look at this recent, these two recent episodes, we had another altercation in Minnesota where a police officer mistaked the gun for a taser, And then we have, just maybe a week ago, we have a little girl get shot 4 times in Ohio. So
right, and then before that, you got the 13-year-old boy got shot in Chicago.
Yeah, the 13 boy got shot in Chicago.
Hold on, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to cut you off, but like, that bothers me, right? Like, you are supposed to be a trained officer. Like, I feel like I know we tend to go, you know, we not politically correct, but we tend to stay structured. But like, I got to get this off my chest. And our listeners, like, understand like what I'm talking about. Like, I'm trying to paint this picture for y'all real quick, because this is atrocious to me, right? I feel, and I'm pretty sure most people feel, that there in no situation, period, should an unarmed civilian lose their life. Period, right? Then you take into account, okay, there's maybe an altercation, or you got a 13-year-old child. Whether the kid had a gun or whether the kid tossed the gun, the situation with the young lady in Ohio where she had a knife, and like, we see that on video. If you aren't trained enough, if you aren't prepared enough to de-escalate a situation like that, why do you have a badge and a gun? Like, what is your, like, you shouldn't be qualified. I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. And they love each other to death, but they can't stand each other, right? So when they get the bickering, as a parent, I'll go to the room and I quote unquote police the situation, right? Like, I have to go in and intervene the situation. if those two are in there arguing, and I go in there, and the only thing that I know how to do is slap both of them upside the face and beat them with the belt, what type of parent am I? What type of authority am I? So if they have an argument, if my two kids have an, and I'm just using them as an example, but if they have an argument or a situation, or if they even, let's say they're fighting, I can't, with my adult mind, I can't go in there and defuse the situation. I can't subdue them.
My take on it, Hal, is that in the eyes of non-black people, they view young kids, well, I would even say kids, black kids, as adults, especially boys. They don't view them as kids. I think black kids have to grow up a lot faster in society than white kids do. And like, for example, if a white kid play Ding Dong Ditch, they'll probably say they're just being kids. But if a black kid do it, they'll probably say that they were trying to burglarize the home.
Sure.
We don't get to be kids.
Sure. Now, I use kids as an example. But like, so let's take it a step further. If I am a police officer, I should be trained to de-escalate adults, civilians. Right. I'm an officer. What do you have training for?
Yeah, so here's my take. I don't mean to interject. Here's my take. You got to look at, if you want to look at reform, we got to look at how they train. Police officers need to be trained differently. They have to be trained differently because, you know, they're trained cinemass.
They're not trained like that when they're dealing with a certain type of people.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't see Caucasian people. They don't see as a threat.
Okay.
They see African. They see minority people as like. Are you that scared of a human being?
Yeah, and I think so. I think you know, to piggyback on that, that's why we need people like us in our community, because they understand us. So we need policing. We need police officers in our community that understand our culture, that understand what we look at, and understand, like, you know, black people, we talk with our hands. We're not intimidating. That's just how we talk. You know, that's just who we are. That's just our personality. And sometimes that can be misconstrued with other things. And also, I just want to go a little bit deeper. As a 40-year-old African-American male, and I drive my, I have a car, you know, I drive. Why do I feel intimidated or feel a little fear creep in when the police officer get behind me? Now you run in my place. Now you got this imagery of me in the system, in your computer system. So now I have to tread lightly because I don't know what type of mood this police officer is, and neither am I. I'm not doing anything, but I'm afraid. And just imagine, I have a 16-year-old son here. I have a 23-year-old son. I have a 23-year-old son that resides in Indiana. You know, what is this thinking? You know, and it is scared. It's too much trauma around this situation. I'm tired of having a conversation about police officer dealing with situations concerning us. These shouldn't be conversations. And it's so frustrating as a man, as a black man in America, that we have to continue to endure traumas. It's disheartening. It's sad, and I'm upset about it because, again, I have to train my 16-year-old black young man how to act accordingly. If you put your hands up, you still can get shot. If you follow the rules, it's a possibility you may not come home. How do you parent that? That's Lamar, the frustrating part.
So that's what I'm saying, right? Like, you are having to train your civilian child on how to encounter an officer, where the officer is supposed to be the one that's trained. They're supposed to be the trained professional. That's like you getting on a damn airplane and having to teach the damn pilot how to fly the airplane.
What you pilot for? Yeah.
And JTR, I think
what you think?
Yeah, JTR, thanks for chiming in, man. Hey Terrell, real quick, when you I don't know what you got going on in your environment, but if you keep moving, if you're moving a lot, the your sound breaks up.
You got it.
Okay. Go ahead, JCR, what you got?
About what?
We're here just talking about, you know, policing and the approach that we have to take around it. Policing and how we are viewed by police officers, by, you know, why we keep having a conversation about police officers killing African Americans. Why we keep having these conversations?
That's what we're talking about. I mean, I just feel like it's just the like how we portray in the media. I think even before they even pull their guns out, I think there's a level of fear. Like they're just already scared of us from the rip on how we're portrayed in society. Is that, you know, all we do is gangbang and shoot and kill. And I think a lot of them have that mindset. So when they pull us over, they feel they have to be the aggressor off the rip. Yeah. And so I feel like they feel like they don't have the upper hand unless they have their gun out, in my opinion. I think they always feel inferior unless their hand is on that trigger when it comes to us, point blank and simple. That's my personal opinion of it.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you. I can see that. I can agree with that 100%. I tell my people, my children, my cousins, we all family. you cannot be the nigga that America created. Don't be the nigga that America created. Because before America, we weren't niggas. Right, like that, they didn't try to throw that on us until we got over here. But just think about think about how people view us, African Americans, outside of the United States, like people in other countries, right? Like if they turn on the TV, like if I live in Australia, and I've never encountered an African American. And the only encounter I have from an African American is what I see on television. What do we look like? And that's a problem, right? That's a problem.
I think officers need to police their own communities. Like you can't have in Minnesota, you can't have a kid in Apple Valley. Police in North Minneapolis. He don't know anything about it.
Sure. I agree. I feel like, and I know a lot of the what they're doing with the policing is they're hiring from the military, right? You cannot police a domestic a territory the same way that you're policing in a war zone. Like that's they're policing like they're in a war zone. Like come on, like you mean to tell me this officer hopped out of his car, right? And I know this is controversial, and I know that legally what that officer did was in legal bounds, right?
Wait, what situation are you talking about?
The last one with the girl in Ohio.
Oh, I got it. Okay. We'll get into that. I got a lot to say about that.
Okay. As far as how I'm saying, as far as the military. So my thing is it a way where if you're coming out of the military, you shouldn't be able to police, period, in my opinion, because your level of mindset is just different. You're coming from a whole war zone in Afghanistan to just basic domestic street life. Like how do you filter out like any little thing could take a trigger off in Afghanistan, whereas somebody could just be approaching you maybe aggressively or even not even aggressively but just loudly, and you take it the wrong way because of you're used to a different atmosphere. I don't think anybody from the war should be allowed to be a domestic police officer, period.
It's the thing, JCR. A lot of the things that cops do, they can't do in the military because they would get court-martialed. Like, you can't beat on people over there. You can't just pull out your gun and shoot some unarmed civilian over in another country when you're in war. You'll get court-martialed and sanctioned and have to go to military prison. So they have more strict rules in the military than they do in policing.
Okay. Well, Myron, you said you had a lot of insight, of you had something that you wanted to say about the incident that happened in Ohio. Give us your point of view and give us your perspective about the whole situation.
So I think that the whole situation was uncalled for, but the girl was in a foster home, 14, 15 years old. From what I've heard, the foster mom called these grown women in their 20s and 30s to come beat the girl up. The girl called her dad, called her grandma. They told her to call the police. So it was either her or her little sister who called the police. I think it was her little sister. I listened to the 911 call telling them to come. And, you know, because these girls trying to beat up her sister. So to me, the girl was defending herself. And in Ohio, they have a stand your ground law. She was standing her ground. And they got rid of duty to retreat. She didn't have to retreat. And standing her ground, you don't have to be in the car. You don't have to be in your house. She could be on the sidewalk. But people said when the police got there that she should have stopped. I don't think she even noticed they showed up. She was so much in the zone, in the rage. But I think four to the chest was overkill from that cop.
But that's what I'm saying, man. Like, you can't, you're not trained enough. Like, you're not...
Right.
You're not trained enough as an officer. This is not 260-pound grown men.
Right.
This is a teenage female. You couldn't slap her hand. You couldn't grab her hand. I don't care if your hand got cut with it. You couldn't subdue that girl. Like, that's the most logical thing that you could have done. Was took that girl life. That's the number one thing you could have done. Like, you couldn't figure out anything else outside of that? I disagree. I disagree. Like, if those were Caucasian girls in the same, if that was a Caucasian girl from a group home and some 30-year-old trailer park girls were trying to jump on her, and that girl had a knife, that Caucasian girl would not have lost her life.
I agree.
She would have got tasered.
So listen, Jonathan, give me your take on it.
I don't even think she would have got tasered. I think they would have just jumped in front of her and yelled at her and be like, get back, get back. Yeah. They don't use any force when it comes to them. They just yell back and forth with each other.
So listen, Jonathan, give me your take, man. Thanks for jumping in on this podcast, man. We was gonna miss you, but give me your take, man.
Nah, my bad, fellas. I had to, you know, take care of home. Like Lamont say, take care of home, take care of home. Anyways, basically, what did you want me to chime in exactly on? Like, I heard Jason talking about, you know, cops leaving the military with crazy and deranged thoughts and shit like that. Like, what did you want me exactly to chime in on real quick?
Do you got an opinion or perspective about the Ohio situation?
Well, yeah, I don't know too much insight, but from what I heard was La Mama had a knife, you know, and she was basically putting it to work. But at the same time, she was on somebody else's property, I guess, well, her property, and she did what was right. But I'm more of the mindset, well, Hal said, it doesn't take bullets to control her. Like, this is a teenage 16-year-old girl. You can't slap that knife out of her hand. You can't pull out a taser and get it right this time. Like, why is it so, why do police in America result into deadly force so fucking quick? Why do you gotta pull somebody over and put a gun to somebody's fucking temple at a fucking traffic light? Like, why do you gotta do that? Like you, y'all that goddamn scared to where y'all got to pull out y'all gun on every fucking incident? Like, really? Like, that's the problem I really have. You know what I'm saying? Like, they always quick to draw their fucking pistol. Like, this pistol is taking people's lives that can never come back. So my whole thing is, I think it needs to be policing reform in regards to use of force.
Hold on. Like I know we keep throwing out police reform. Like, we keep saying this, that word, that phrase, police reform. I don't think that... I think that this is calculated, right? I think that it's calculated. I think that police officers are trained to police a certain way in certain type of neighborhoods.
I do too.
Agree.
Like,
I do too.
It, reform, like, this is, they have the green light to be aggressive in these particular neighborhoods.
I do too.
You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah. So when we say police reform, they're doing exactly what they intend to do.
Yeah. So check this out, right? I have another perspective on the whole situation in Ohio. As I was watching the video, I saw an older man kick a child. Front. You have teenage girls out here fighting. So you try to tell me not one functioning adult could have stopped this situation from occurring before the police even got there. Before the police got there, you try to tell me not one adult, there was no adults present to stop this from happening, to say enough, before the police officer got there. So it's a twofold for me. It's very unfortunate this police officer didn't have them. You know, when I first heard it, I said, man, he could have just walked up to the girl and just grabbed and get it out of hand. I said, I'd have been in too many, you know, being an educator for the Chicago public school system. I done broke up a multitude of fights where kids had bricks and bottles.
Right.
What
right.
did I do? I went into the situation.
Lamana, I'm sorry. I want you to continue that. But listen to what you just said, man. Like, you are not a trained officer, a professional, but you work in one of the roughest school systems in Chicago. Kids and you know, damaged kid, whatever you want to call it, and you stopped plenty of altercations without deadly force.
But how? At some point, it comes down to just common fucking sense. Common sense, bro.
Because I want Mont to continue. I want him to continue. But how are you, as a civilian, able to de-escalate a situation? But a supposedly trained officer with law enforcement can't do that without deadly force.
I think it goes, not to cut mine off, but I think it goes back to Myra's point. Environment. Mont knows that environment better than that cop does.
I can agree with that. Continue, Lamont.
So, you know, that was my first instinct. Like, there's no adult, I mean, when he first arrived, you know, they say, well, a male cop can't touch a female. At that point, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about protecting that person from getting stabbed and potentially resolving the situation. Because at the end of the day, violence only begat more violence.
But you know, Mom, so, to me, her stabbing her is a natural consequence. She came to her house.
Right. And then here's the thing too. And another again, you know, I have different viewpoints. If you see somebody coming to your house, go in your house, close the door. You ain't gotta come out there. You ain't gotta, you know what I'm saying? You ain't gotta entertain that. You don't have to. So my thing is, you didn't have to entertain that situation. You took the right steps. You called people to get help. Not a police arrived. And then now you got police officers that, okay, let me pull my gun out. Let me shoot. So it's like, I'm upset that this baby lost her life. Because y'all know how I feel. I got a heart for children. And that makes me mad. It makes me angry when I turn on the news and see police killing young black people. It makes me angry when I turn on the news and I see we killing each other. It makes me angry that a little girl lost her life at McDonald's by some people within our community. That makes me angry. But at the end of the day, I'm upset.
So I want to share something with y'all, and I want all y'all opinion. I kind of shared it with Myron a little bit. a few times off the phone, but I want Hal and Jason and you, even yourself, Lamar, to chime in on something. You guys, well, I know Jason, I don't watch the news like that, and you two don't live in Minnesota, but Minnesota just passed something in the House, in our legislation, about basically cops can't pull over people no more for misdemeanor warrants. Like, they just passed a law in Minnesota that cops can't pull you over for like a broken taillight or expired tabs and shit like that. And they just passed that, and they passed something else. It was something else I gotta really look up to make sure. But I know like cops can't really, they're limited on misdemeanor stops now. So they can't, basically what Myron was telling me off record, they eliminating that, all that probable cause bullshit. You know, like you'll pull a motherfucker over just for a broken taillight, then like, hey, I smell weed, and then hey, what are you reaching for? And all this old dump. So it's dumb. So hold on real quick, Hal. So basically they stopped that. So I was looking at one of the persons who voted against it was a Republican. And dude comments was saying, well, you're just gonna make it harder for people to join the police force. Why are you guys doing this? It's gonna be discouraging for people to want to be a police officer. So my thing is, how's that discouraging from a person wanting to become a police officer? Because so basically y'all telling me it's only cool to be a cop when you can get away with anything and have this much power and to abuse it. So basically you're saying that this Republican is saying now that we're giving cops accountability, it's gonna discourage people from wanting to be an actual police officer. What do y'all think about those comments from that guy, y'all? Like, I really want to know that. Like, what do y'all go ahead.
Let me kind of chime in on your first. I actually disagree with, like, I don't like that law.
What law?
So like how you said, okay, officers can't pull people over. Listen, gotcha. If your registration ain't right, drive a vehicle. You understand? If you got a broken tail light, don't drive. So like, but I'm saying like, so we are we to the point where we have to take? So you mean to tell me a police officer is not trained enough to pull over a vehicle with expired tags and not kill that damn person? Like what you talk? Well, like what we talk? Like why we got to take that away? If a vehicle is rolling down the street and the tags is expired, the officer's supposed to pull that person over, and they supposed to figure out, hey, you got expired tags. Okay, you know, this got to be taken care of. Here's your ticket. You know, hopefully get this taken care of. Go to the court and handle it. Like, so you can't stop a car without dragging a motherfucker all through the street. Like, you can't do that.
So what do you think about those comments per se? Why do you feel like he feel it's discouraging for people to?
The comments is idiotic.
Yeah, plain and simple.
I don't even want to address the comments because it's so stupid.
It's capital S, capital T, stupid.
I think I kind of agree with the bill, only because stuff like a broken tail light, some people drive and don't know their tail light is out.
Correct.
If you're single and you don't know because you can't see it. Or probably it was working, but when you're driving back and forth, it just stopped working. Okay. And as far as tabs, now in the middle of a pandemic, you shouldn't be pulling over people for tabs right now because DMVs aren't open fully. And you have to mail, and it's taking months to get the information back that you need for your car. So I think if you're pulling people over for minor traffic violations as far as car registration and tabs, you could take down their information and just mail them the ticket and they can handle it or send the warning. But I think when you pulling people over for minor traffic violations, you're opening the door for probable cause, because cops could pull you over and then, like, I've been pulled over and then they start asking what you're doing over here. I was like, I didn't know Brooklyn Center was Hollywood. I can't come over here. Like, what's the point? I don't get that question. Like, what are you doing over here?
Right.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I just feel like, so I understand what your point is with that, Myron. I just feel like you should be trained enough to, okay, if I'm pulling you over for a broken taillight, I shouldn't give you a fine. I should give you a fix-it ticket, right? I should give you a fix-it ticket. I should put it in the system. Now, if I pull you over a month later and your taillight's still broken, and then you got to get a ticket. You got to get a fine, right? Yeah. But what I'm saying is, an officer is not calm enough. It's not compassionate enough to stop a person and understand, okay, we're in a pandemic. Ma'am, listen, your registration is expired. Listen, I can write you a ticket, but listen, I know what's going on. Please go get this handled. Yeah. Now I'm going to put this in the system that we talk, because the officers do that. That's part of their job. They got to, anytime they have an interaction with a civilian, they got to put all that information in.
Right. They gotta document it.
They gotta document it. If I pull you over 6 weeks in the same neighborhood and you still ain't got your registration right, then I gotta give you a ticket.
So like, Al, here's the deal.
I don't want to be driving down the street and somebody hit me, and that person ain't got no damn insurance. Now it's on me.
Right, I agree, but it just seems
I think going to Hal's point, you was like, you know, why can't an officer just be calm and make the traffic stop and go out?
Ain't going about it.
I think a lot of things was hurting us is sometimes when the cop, I think they, when they pull you over, they're automatically abusing their power. So when it comes to dealing with us, we gonna snap back at them. So now the situation went from a regular routine traffic stop to something else. Because of the aggression from both parties. So now, in the end, the cop can't control his emotions. And since he got the trigger, I don't want to say he comes out on top, but he's the one that really that has the last say-so in everything.
Right, that he should be an officer. Shouldn't be an officer. Go sit your ass down somewhere. You shouldn't be an officer. What's wrong with you? You shouldn't be on the force, period. Like that, like I'm sick and tired of that. You should not be on the force, period. You understand? Yeah. Like that's the issue, right? That is the issue. Absolute powers corrupts absolutely.
Yeah. And so I don't want to be redundant, y'all, but I have a problem with those comments. I agree that it's stupid, but how is changing laws and shit like that is discouraging? This is what the man said. He said, he said, you're going to have problems finding people now to become police officers. If you guys change the laws. Why are you guys disregarding that? I understand it. Like,
here's why we disregarding them comments. Did his vote matter? The law still got passed. Next.
But that's not always the case, because I'm going to tell you something.
It doesn't matter. His opinion is non-void. I'm gonna tell you something.
Why it does matter? That's just in Minnesota. We have a bigger issue in the United States Capitol and Congress. That same bill, that got passed in Minnesota, it's gonna be the opposite in the actual U.S. Congress. Mark, you have real Republicans in Congress that's trying to get federal laws passed, but that think like him. That's why it's a problem.
It's a problem. You know, it's gonna be a problem. Look at. The United States is continuing to be divided. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, we have to, as African-American people, we have to stand up together. But here's the thing. We don't stand up together. We stand up together for a moment, for a situation, or things that happen. But we can't stand up consistently to change this system. We got to stand consistently to change the system. That goes from our communities on down. We have to start in our community first. We can't have Republicans and Democrats try to save our own community when we are in our community. We have the power to change it. So I'm not expecting Biden to come in and bring people in my community to change it. It starts with us. It starts with us stopping the violence. It starts with us to demand better school system. It starts with us to demand better things. We have the economic power right now. If every African American in the United States say, I'm not gonna spend no money, we could shut this system down. But we too big. We don't think like that. We think too small. And then you got envy coming. You got envy, you got jealousy. We can't stand. Oh, here's why I say jealousy. The lady from the Black Lives Matter, the top dog. She buys a house. What do African Americans go do? She bought a house in whatever. So she can't buy a house and still be for pro black. We ain't say that. We ain't say that to the owner of the Goodwill. We ain't talk about them. They don't live in the community.
I seen that. They was giving her a riff about that. Especially
they don't live in our community. Look at Malcolm X, man. Malcolm X died with nothing, and he stayed within us. He dwelled within us. He lived among us, and he died with nothing. One of the biggest activists in the world, outside of Malcolm X, outside of Martin Luther King, he died with nothing. So you can't tell me I'm sick of this. You know, black people, you know, African American people get on my nerves, bro. Because we can't stand together for nothing. But yet and still, you want to blame everybody else. We need to blame ourselves. We need to take a look at ourselves and within our own community and say, look, we can change this.
We have to change this, bro. And Mon, I got a question for you, though. When you say, if as African American, would you say stop spending money? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the fallback plan with that? If we don't spend the money and give it to them, how are we maintaining it?
We maintain within ourselves, man. Let me tell you something. The black dollar only circulates in our community one time. If you look at Chinese, they dollar circulate multitude of times before it goes to another race. Our money don't circulate within ourselves.
Also, what you're saying is give money to us, not them, is what you're saying. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I took that wrong on how you said it then. I thought you meant, like, just don't spend money, period. I'm like, what are you talking about?
No, we got to spend money. We got to spend money because that's how the system goes.
So, Lamont, I like the turn of the tone of the narrative that you just put out there, because it's one thing for us to talk about and talking about these officers need to be held accountable, but I'm like you. We as a people need to be held accountable as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't, like, what are you digesting every day as a person, right? And I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about, like, what are you digesting through your eyes and ears every day? Like, look at the music that we listen to. Look at the stuff, the drama stuff that we watch on TV. Like we have to hold ourselves accountable. Like, that's one thing that the officers on their side got to hold themselves accountable. But, like, our neighborhood, we should be holding ourselves accountable for what we do. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if we were united, they wouldn't be able to come in there and do that to our babies. They wouldn't be able to come in there and, like, you don't see Jewish kids shot in the street. Cause if they did, it'd be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You don't see Middle Eastern kids getting shot in the street, because if there was, it'd be a problem. You see what I'm saying? But they can do that to us because we're so divided. You know what I'm saying? Like, it irks me to no end that, the little girl in Ohio, let's take in my hometown, Chicago, a little 13-year-old boy in Chicago gets shot by an officer. Okay, we make a huge deal about it. But probably that same night, in that same area, 2-3 other people got gunned down by people that look just like them. Like, that's a problem to me. Like how you gonna talk about Black Lives Matter, or how you gonna talk about these cops, accountability, this and that, and then go outside and turn your pistol on somebody that look like you?
Because they feel as if it's cool and it's validated to, you know what I'm saying?
That's the problem.
So, I know.
But then how you gonna talk about officers and this and that when you doing what they doing?
Hey, Lamont, real quick.
What's up?
I read into it and I found out that little boy was actually out robbing folks too. Is that true?
Yeah, not robbing folks. He was outside at 2:30 in the morning.
If he was out robbing folks, then he should be behind juvie. He should be in juvie. He shouldn't be in a cemetery.
That's true.
I agree.
That's true. That don't make it a right to take his life. Correct.
Like, if he was out, I don't care if he was out robbing people. He should go to he should be in a juvenile detention center. He shouldn't be in a damn cemetery.
I agree. Hey, man, this, you know, Myron and I talk sidebar a lot, you know, throughout the week. And all of us do. We talk throughout the week. I don't know. I'm lost for words. I really can't. I'm just hurting. And my heart hurts, bro, because it hurts, man. And a 7-year-old baby got killed at McDonald's, like, because of something that in our community. I could talk about the police all the day. I could talk about what they don't do, but I just have this. It's heavy on my heart. But this little baby lost her life in the McDonald's line, bro. In the McDonald's line, be something because of in the line in McDonald's, killed. This baby got hit 7 times.
Hey,
times.
That's, man.
So here we go. And then we go on this uproar about these police officers killing this girl in Ohio. But did we go on an uproar? Are we marching down on Roosevelt where that baby got killed? Are we standing? Are we standing in front of our own community? What are we doing?
Right.
I think we do, but I think we don't have to, but I think we do. But I don't think it's necessary, because if whoever shot that girl would be convicted to the highest level of the law. That don't happen for cops. They get away with murder,
right?
Just because they are a cop. So right. I think it's different.
Yeah, it is different. But man, it's just, I mean, I'm a non-violent type of guy. I don't like violence because I just don't like it. I think violence don't solve an issue. Violence only begot more violence. That's just my personal opinion about that.
I kind of disagree.
I mean, violence is violence, bro. I need sometimes it's necessary, sometimes it's not necessary. But if the situation can be avoided, then let's not be violent. But if it can't be avoided, then I understand. I understand situational things.
Why do you think that the Christian community is attacked way more than the Muslim community? Because the Muslims gonna fly planes into your damn building.
They sure will.
But Christians gonna turn the other cheek, like that. Like, people think Jesus was just soft. Jesus wasn't soft like that. Jesus was cutthroat.
Yeah, he was cutthroat. I'm not saying I'm the perfect poster boy for turning the cheek or not violent. And if I have to entertain that ideal of being violent, oh, I will. But however, if I can avoid entertaining that, I will.
Of course.
How?
That's what I'm saying.
How? How cutthroat was he?
Man,
Hey, listen, you don't want to know.
No, I do want to know. And I need some of the how cutthroat was Jesus?
Jesus didn't play no games. Like, Jesus was very mission minded. Right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you came at Jesus with things outside of his mission, like, he was so cold, he didn't have to put hands on you. He just, like, he was just gonna correct you, it'll cut like a Gensu knife, because like he's just gonna correct you. Period. You know what I'm saying? Like, or like when the tax collectors and all that, when they was collecting all the money and stuff, and Jesus came and turned the table over.
He turned the table over because, what y'all doing in here?
Right.
Y'all selling these people this? What y'all doing? Y'all can't sell these people these defective drugs. What are we doing here?
Right.
What are we doing?
Right. So like what I'm saying is, like, the way I carry myself. So, like, I'm not in fear. I'm not in fear at all. But one of the reasons I'm not in fear, because I have faith. Right. But I don't, like, I'm the type of, and I'm a non-confrontational person. But I've learned conflict resolution.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I've learned that as an adult, conflict resolution. So, like, I'm not going to disrespect you, but I'm not tolerating not one ounce of disrespect. You're not going to disrespect me. And I'm talking about, I've encountered officers know what I'm saying? I've encountered officers to where I understand how to articulate myself as a man, right? And so, like, I can look in the officer's eyes and say, oh, hey, you know, so what's going on here? Like, what are we, you know, what are we trying to accomplish here? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't play the victim. I do not like playing the victim. And so if I encounter an officer, I'm going to approach that. I'm not going to give that officer an ounce of disrespect, but I'm not going to accept no disrespect either from an officer, from nobody. I'm a man at the end of the day, and I'm a child of God. Do you understand that officers are hired help? They work for us.
Correct.
Do you understand mm-hmm. that? Like they work, we pay them, we're taxpayers. If you're a taxpayer, an officer works for you.
Yep.
You're a hired help around here. So
any public service employee, you work for the citizen.
Right. You're a hired help, sir. So do your job.
Yeah. So you know, to switch gears a little bit, because this conversation is real, it's thick, and as we conclude this podcast, I want to afford everybody the opportunity to get anything they have on their chest, just to get it off, and within, you know, a minute or two minutes or whatever, just to get it off, whatever you got on your mind, whatever you've been thinking about, just get it off your chest, because our society is in turmoil. It's in turmoil.
Go ahead. Like I said, when I chimed in, I kind of came in late. I apologize for my viewers, but I'm not sure if you guys touched on the guilty verdict or not. I'm assuming you guys did.
We did.
Okay. Well, my thing is, I'm glad they got it right, but what I feel is important. Everybody needs to pay attention to that judge and that sentence. Just because we got a guilty verdict, like Hay would say, once out of 60, it still needs to be done right. Like, you can't get this man a 15-year sentence. Most motherfuckers look at, oh, he got 15 years. No, this is state prison. So I say if he gets sentenced to 15 years, that means dude can do about 7-8 years and get the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like dude need to be sentenced to the max available, the max punishable, which is about 40 years. So if he getting 40 years, dude gonna do at least what? What would you say, Maya? If a motherfucker do 40 years, what you gonna do, about 30?
Yeah, 25, 30.
Okay, two-thirds. So my whole thing is, Lamont, I just want people going forward to pay attention to that sentencing thing. That's what's going. That's another thing that's going to tell us. Do they sentence us different? Or do they going to sentence him the same? Because if that was a black man, they'd have sentenced their ass way for life.
But go ahead. Right.
And I just want y'all to, I just want to leave y'all with that. And I'm sorry to the viewers that I chimed in late, but we'll correct these issues.
They forgive you.
They forgive you. Who next?
Go ahead, Jason.
Nothing off my chest. Mine is just short and simple and to the point. If she good to you, just do right by her. Just do right by her. Good to you, do right by her.
Oh! Hey, look, hey, GCR. Okay, I come from a good family. I got a good heart.
Got a good heart. Hey, you got a good heart.
You got a good heart. Hey. Right on time. Hey, JCR, it never fails. You always come through. You always come through.
That was good. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Hey, Myron.
That's pretty much it. Summed it up. There's another case, and I forgot what state, man. There's so many. I forgot the kid in the bathroom with the gun.
I heard about that case.
The mom called the police saying he put his girl hair. Her mom called the police, and then she threw in there, but I think he has a gun, and the daughter was like, I don't think he has a gun. I never said that, but the mom told the police that, so they go in there, and they go in there, like, on the video, like, they weren't expecting the gun. They just go, and they didn't clear the scene, because there was somebody else in another bathroom stall.
Yeah, it was
crazy, man. We'll get into it more on the next episode. But
yeah, I think they shot through the stall. They killed the kid, right?
Yeah, they killed them. he did have a gun on him, but he never went for it. He never touched it. He ended up shooting his partner in the leg. The other cop shot his partner in the leg. So yeah, it's crazy.
Oh man. Oh yeah. Man.
So
Terrell?
Yeah. So yeah, for me, I not everybody has the same spiritual views, but for me and in my house and what I believe and what I know to be from what I believe is this is a spiritual warfare, right? Yeah. This is God's green earth, but this world, there's a big difference between the earth and the world. This world system that we operate in is satanically ruled.
Correct.
And so that's why we see the type of things that we're seeing, right? So I encourage people to, you know, dig more in your faith, man, and not blind faith, right? Like, actually understand what you have faith about, right? And keep faith in God and listen, protect your people, man. Like, you know what I mean? I got boys, I got sons, I got a little girl, I got a you know, I got an older daughter and I got a younger daughter. I have to, parenting is tougher.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Our parents didn't have to deal with the things that our kids have to deal with.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So parenting is tougher. Be patient, parents. Be patient with your kids. Like, don't parent your kids from your perspective only. Like, think about, remember when you were 16, remember when you were 13, and like, you know, teach them to survive the encounter.
Yeah.
Teach your children to survive the encounter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If an officer pulls up, they are supposed to de-escalate the situation, but you now as a civilian, as an 11-year-old kid, you have to de-escalate the situation with grown people.
That's sad.
That's a sad state that we're in, but that's what we live in right now. So please, parents, be patient with your children. Listen to them. You know, it's a lot of trauma going on, man. Like, these kids see everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Think about that. These kids saw George Floyd get murdered on in live TV. These kids just saw the young lady in Ohio get shot down. They're seeing that.
Yeah.
That's trauma. Like, so
we should touch on mental health.
For sure. Like, our next podcast, and I know Myron Lamont, that's your field. I think we should definitely touch on that because people need it. Please, parents, be patient with your kids. Them to survive the encounter.
Yeah, right. I'm thinking about getting to host the young people on the show and let them just talk. We are moderated the best we can, but I'm thinking about getting some young people, just let them talk, because sometimes they don't have that platform just to get it out, and then the platform they do have is to promote negativity or promote bad things. So I want to give them the opportunity to this platform. So I don't know when it's coming, but I want to do that. I want to give young people the platform to just speak. And for me to get it off my chest, man, my heart is hurting, man. It's bleeding because I don't like what I'm seeing in the world. I don't like what I'm seeing with amongst our people. I just don't like when kids are constantly being the victim. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. And it bothers me because we killing our generation. The generation that's supposed to, you know, take us to the next level, we killing them off. And it is at a rapid pace. It's rapidly, you know, within our community and with other help with other people. It's sad. And I just wanted, you know, to not stop, but to settle. You know, to settle itself. But that's a prayer that I'm gonna have to pray, and hopefully that, you know, this thing can turn around. The systematic racism and everything tied to it will begin to fall by the wayside a little bit for us before we can breathe. You know, I think as black people, we can't breathe. And we can't breathe. We can't breathe right now. And I'm gonna say we can't breathe. And I'm gonna say it's hard to breathe right now as an African American. It's hard to breathe. That's my take. And I'm gonna be out with that. I'm gonna allow guys to get their outro. And we can conclude this podcast. Y'all fellas, go ahead.
This is Terrell. I appreciate y'all tapping in with us. Hopefully, the stuff that we talked about and the topics we touched on help somebody, help some people. And, you know, we're going to bring y'all more. So thank you again for tapping in with us.
This is J5. I appreciate the love and the support as usual. Stay tuned for next week.
This is Jaycion. Appreciate y'all tuning in for another episode. Y'all be blessed. Be blessed and have a safe weekend out there.
This Myron. I guess I'm last this week. We appreciate y'all for listening. I'll see y'all next week.
All right, y'all. We out.
All right.